In the beginning, there was nothing. Then there were comic books. Once you enter our world, there is no escape. Comic exposure begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Comic Exposure Podcast. My name is Josh, and with me is my post-summer beefcake, the one, the only.
That video intro scared me a little bit. Travis Ratz here. I forgot that it was coming.
It's been a while, Travis. It's been a while. And it's only been a mere week since we've been together. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
Don't look any older than a week. No.
Yeah. Welcome to the Comic Exposure Podcast, where Travis Ratz and I dive deep into graphic novels and trades and discuss them with you, Oprah Book Club style, just to have fun, just to talk about what we read. And we, on this episode, are wrapping up our summer series. Every summer, for most summers for a while now, we pick an event. We do a summer event. We challenge ourselves to read something. At one point, we filled our little comic book holes with Marvel books we hadn't read. Another time, we spent reading all Superman stories, or we did, I don't know, what did we do last?
Star Wars.
We read a bunch of Star Wars. This year, though, we wanted to try something a little different, and we read 6
novels. I'm a little slow today. I'm going to step on everything you say. I was rethinking of other summer ones. You know, it was a cool one. Reheat Summer.
Oh yeah, we did reheat. We read the second volume or third volume to a series that we had done already. On this summer, we read 6 graphic novels. Standalone graphic novels that couldn't have been released in sequential comic book series. They were released as graphic novels. This gave us a bunch of new creators to read, a bunch of different stories than what we would normally read on the podcast, because normally we're reading serialized graphic novels or trades that have come out first as like monthly comic books. So we read a handful of books. And today, our job today is to kind of wrap up. We want to take a look back at our summer. You know, we're tanned, we're glistening with sun, and now the clouds are coming. They're covering up that sun. We have to go back to being normal people.
As school is coming up and we are both in the world of education, I would call this our summative summer episode.
Oh, I like it. Yes. I don't like it, actually. That's terrible because I'm already school's already back in session where I'm at. Travis is not there yet because he teaches people who do normal things, even though it's in Germany. It's on a normal schedule compared to mine. But here we go. We read 6 books, Travis Ratz. Can you name all 6 books, or do you need me to name them? Because
today, I'll let the audience know I'm fighting some major jet lag. This will be kind of interesting. Yeah, let's see if I can, Josh. But if I can't, you cannot take that as, did he even read anything? It's been a while, and my brain's a little foggy. Okay.
Let's see if you can
No particular order.
Yeah.
You'll have to help me out with writers and artists.
I have writers. In by Will McPhail.
Mama Came a Calling.
Mama Came Calling by Ezra Clayton Daniels and Camilla Sucre.
So I did the 2 bookends on there. Then we got Beat It Rufus.
Beat It Rufus by Noah Van Sciver.
Daddy, I miss you. Morgan. Don't die.
What?
Daddy.
Oh,
father.
Talking to my father's ghost. My Alex Crokin. Organisms from.
This is the tricky part. It's the organisms from a distant planet. No, ancient universe. Ancient cosmos.
By S. Craig Zahler. And then the last book of the 6, can you name it? There was hardly any dialogue in it.
The survey says I can Drome.
Yes, Drome by Jesse Lonergan. So in order, we started our summer with In by Will McPhail, then Organisms from an Ancient Cosmos by S. Craig Zahler, then Talking to My Father's Ghost by Alex Crocus, Beat It Rufus by Noah Van Sciver, Drome by Jesse Lonergan, and then ended it with Mama Came Callin' by Ezra Clayton Daniels and Camilla Sucre. That was our only book with two separate creators. I want to talk about that a little bit because I think that's an interesting thing that we went through this summer, that most of these were single creator books. But before we get there, we read these six books, and I would say this was a different experience than most of our summer reads, Travis, just by the nature of what it was. So, and I maybe I'm off, but I want to know, did you feel, was this summer event, did it feel different than other summer events we've done in the past?
Yeah, yes, without trying to like teeing me up for anything, I would say that this did feel different. It felt, for lack of better word right now, more studious than,
yeah, well, I can get that.
Than a summer event. Oftentimes, summer events start off lighthearted.
Yeah.
But as we get into it, because usually we're picking like one character or one kind of thing that by the time you get to the middle of it, there's kind of a roller coaster ride of like, oh, this is exciting and new. And like, oh, I'm kind of getting burnt out on this. And then at the end, what, you know, so there wasn't this kind of typical arc you get with the summer event, like when we did old Marvel issues, right? Yeah. You're like, after like, ish, you know, book three, you're like, well, the art style, what was it, was kind of fresh with the first one, but now this is like my fourth 80s Marvel comic book on there. So there were so many different themes, so many different styles, so there was just such a variety that I didn't have that kind of up and down of being really into it and then being burnt out on it. I would say on there, but I'm curious to how you would answer that question.
I think that you, the second part you said is what sticks out to me. I agree with you. It did feel more studious and academic this time. If I could like, I think the choice this summer felt like a college course, and not in a bad way. It felt like we were that, like our reading this summer was a college course of graphic novels. Right.
That's a good way to say it. Yeah. Yeah. Cause every book we went into it with absolutely no idea, and everything felt like it just had more nutrition. I don't know.
I get like a nutrient rich comic book reading, if you will. Right. Like,
yeah,
like those little like pills, it. Those little pills on the Jetsons where you just like the whole meal in a pill. Right.
Like Athletic Greens of comics.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Athletic Greens, not a sponsor of this podcast, but Athletic Greens.
If you want to.
We're here.
Yeah. So I would agree with you that this felt, I think you're right, because this, the only thing connecting these books together was this idea of let's read a bunch of writers we haven't read and let's read a bunch of what I would consider kind of indie graphic novels, right? A couple of them are, I think one of them, you know, was out on a very large publisher, right? But to me, they still feel they're unknown characters, unknown ideas. They're not tied to any major universe or thing or anything like that. And they're not what we would normally read. And so you're right, as we would normally do this event. So Star Wars, I think I'm going to use that as an example. Like you go like, okay. And then I think at the end, we learn something about Star Wars and more about our relationship with Star Wars. That didn't happen in this one. I think we can talk about whether we felt an overarching concept behind what we read this summer. But in reality, I think it felt like the connective tissue between them wasn't super cohesive. And so that I didn't get burnt out on reading it because it wasn't like churn and burn the same concept. So it felt like a different process this summer. And I want to talk about that process.
Yeah. I want to ask you about this. So since we're talking more about, I like this term you use, process here. What, if anything, because we've been reading comics since we were kids, But in particular, you know, reading them for discussion and analysis and for fun debates for, I don't know, 10 plus years now. What has this added or changed anything about your process when you are looking for what you want to read next
in a
comic book?
I think the takeaway from this, and this is almost kind of a final question, but I like that it's here. I kind of like that this idea is here. I think for me, it has, and this is a weird thing to say, that we've been doing this show for a long time. We've read some graphic novel-y things, whether that's, what was the one? Persepolis we read. We read All of My Ghosts. We've read these very sort of like independent, self-contained biographical story pieces before. But I think for me, it opened it up to go like, why am I not looking for more books like this for the show? Right.
So right.
I think my process of hunting for books is going to feel a little different, because now I feel like, you know, we normally go like, okay, what's big, what's out, what's the big Image series, Marvel series, DC series. Let's go back to, what's up with Batman? We did Batmanuary this year, right? What's going on? Let's read three books about Batman, or four books. I think we already done four books about Batman this year, right? Which is wild.
Yeah, we started the year with that.
Yeah, we wouldn't normally do that in a year, but I think for me, these six books make me go, okay, there's some really interesting things outside of what I would normally look for when I'm hunting for books for us to read. So I think that's opened it up for me. How about you? What after reading these six books, what are you looking for now when you're like, I want to hunt for a book? Is there something that stands out to you? Is it the single creator? Is it the topic that we've kind of run into over the course of these books? Is there something about these six that stuck out that you go, I want to find more of that when I search for books?
Yeah. When it comes to the searching process, I think we've talked about this before. You do often do a lot of the picking for what we read on the podcast, just because you're a little bit more plugged into kind of like the comic book review podcast, and then like your social media feeds, and just like being able to go into multiple physical comic book shops and kind of peruse the shelves. Yeah. So for me, in the process of picking things out, oftentimes when I'm searching or looking at things, I'm being given like I'm just constantly being fed and constantly living in the world of creators I'm already aware of.
Yeah, yeah.
And being fed their newest titles, which is great. You know, when there's a new Brubaker book, like I'm aware of it, you know, Tinian book, I'm aware of it. I think that this summer, these six books prove that if you go a little bit deeper, and we each spent quite a bit of time, and we had, if you go back and you listen to our
kickoff
summer
episode, right?
Kickoff, when we're picking and drafting these books on here, we had multiple books that we could have read that were on this list that could have been great as well, but it took us a while to find them. So it's about not going with what Kindle suggests based on your previous read. It's about not going about what, like, you know, maybe iFanboy is saying on their podcast. That's great sources to find some great comic books, but not always maybe something that's going to hit you in a really personal way, or that's going to give you not just one thing that you haven't seen before, but several things you haven't seen before, like Drome, right? We're like, wow, like there's like five things that I've never seen in a comic book before are in one comic. That's kind of like our litmus test sometimes on this talk show. weird, wild stuff. But one of the litmus tests for if we like something we've talked about before is have the creators done some, like, I haven't seen that before.
Yeah.
And oftentimes a book is worth talking about if there's one thing that the creators are doing that we just haven't seen before. I'm kind of like that with films now too, where I'm like, people are like, oh, that film sucked. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Did you see that 5-minute scene? you know, where blah, 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 you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree with you. This idea of like, it is, it's pushed me to like look outside of what I would normally look for. Right. Because I think we found some really interesting books that I think gave us something different to talk about than what we normally talk about. And I think you're right. I was talking to somebody about just the internet in general and how the internet in general feeds you what you're already looking for. Right. So mm-hmm. if you're angry about something and you watch a video on Instagram where someone's complaining about that thing that you're angry about, well, the next five videos, your entire For You feed is going to be people complaining about that, right? In an example, it is every football team is releasing their jerseys right now, right? It is kit release season. So I will look at, I'll see like, oh, that's cool. Let's look at this kit for this team. And then I go back to my page and it's five more teams like releasing their kit. And you're like, well, that one's cool. You look at it and all of a sudden your For You page is every team that's released their kit, right? Like that's what, because Instagram's like, oh, you like that? Here's more of it, piggy. Eat more.
Yeah.
Of it, right.
Oh, you love Haaland? You think he's the summer stud of World Cup? Well, here's everything about Haaland.
Hey, or like, hey, do you see that raccoon without a spine? Guess what? Here's 30 Jimothys coming at you. Everybody's
right. I didn't even look that up and the internet's feeding me. Sometimes the internet will feed you stuff because they're just like, this is what everyone is talking about. You need to be tuned in.
But I think the other piece for me is that idea of always finding that same thing. You're right. Like a non-comic book example for me, like I read a lot of books, right? I read novels too. And my Kindle feed is like, oh, you might like this. I don't read a ton of books on my Kindle. So my Kindle feed is different than my normal like books I go out and buy. And so it's like, same. Hey man, remember 2 years ago when all you read is Star Wars? Here's 30,000 more Star Wars books.
Because I was just looking at that this week and it was like, why is there so much Star Wars shit here?
because I did a lot of searching and research to find the right Star Wars books. It's like, hey, you were looking for Star Wars, man. Here's some more Star Wars, bud. Right. And most of those books that we read, we were trying to find the right one. So I had a bunch of samples on my Kindle. And it's like, I don't know, man, you checked out like 30 Star Wars books. That's must be all you like to read. Right. And so I feel like having to go search beyond, it really opened it up for me. So process wise, I think, you know, we've learned something about our process and about maybe picking books, but I got a question for you. We've read these six books. So looking back at all six books, did your opinion of any of them change after we finished all six books? Looking back on the six, is there one now out of those six you're like, you know what? I wasn't sure about it at first, but now that I've kind of read
digested all six, it.
Now that I've digested it, I've digested the summer out of that lineup. Is there one that you now like more or less now that you have comparison of all these other books?
That's a good question. That's exactly where I wanted to take it at this point in the conversation. It's like, look back at some specific books. Can I throw that question to you since you asked it to me? I'm guessing maybe you have an answer to it because go ahead.
Yeah, I think for me, and it's hard for it not to be one of the first two books that we read, right? It's hard to go like, hey, you read these books. Now that you've read them, what do you think differently? Well, I think my opinion is probably changes on the first ones, really. I think as I look back at it, Organisms from an Ancient Cosmos was a fun, goofy read. But I think if I look back at all six we did, that one, the luster on that has dropped a little bit. Only because I think of it and I go like, well, that was a fun B-movie ride. And that's about, as I leave it, and I think of all of the sort of, look, we read In and we read Talking to My Father's Ghost. And I think even Beat It Rufus, even though Beat It Rufus was goofy, those books gave you a really sort of like introspection into the self, right? And so after that, I go like, oh yeah, Summer from an Ancient Cosmos was fun when we were reading it. But now I'm kind of like, It was that B movie. It was the popcorn. If you're watching a bunch of movies this summer and one of them is the popcorn flick, that was the popcorn flick, right? That was the big epic space sci-fi Armageddon meets Independence Day meets, you know, The Right Stuff, all kind of combined into this B movie Mars Attacks package.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that as well. We kind of felt that way about it, like you said. You know, we called it a B movie, but as the summer's kind of gone on, that's the one that's kind of feels like the least nutritional, maybe.
Yeah,
as we used on there.
Yeah.
For me, I'm trying to kind of like the mental equivalent of relaxing your eyes and just, you know, like watching one of those magic eye paintings, and like which one appears and how do you feel about it?
Yeah.
Because it's so weird, because I feel like all these books have kind of haunted in good ways my brain this summer. And I'm going to go with is that first book we read. Like you said, it's hard to not get those first two, but it's something that I think, oh gosh, I'm even second guessing myself as we say this, but I'm going to go with In.
Or is there one you like more? It doesn't have to be one you liked less. Is there one that's like,
No. That's the one that just keeps coming back. I keep kind of putting it in there and reframing it. Maybe this summer in particular, because, you know, I live alone typically most of the year. And during the summers, I'm for like 5 weeks, I'm staying in other people's places, whether it be my family or friends, and I'm kind of driving around on there. So I go from being an unsocial person, you know, for most of your day to being like living with other people and then feeling the sense of like, well, I got to connect with these people. You know, whether it's like you and I meeting up for lunch, like doesn't matter how I feel. I get to see Josh in person this time. or my parents or, you know, other friends or whoever it is.
Yeah.
And so I think that kind of kept reheating for me that book, which is all about how do we connect with other people, which to bring to the larger theme of what we're doing here, wrapping up, is I think sometimes when you get into like the mainstream comics, you get into mainstream themes, right?
Yes.
Oftentimes we read a lot of noir crime comics because we love noir crime comics, but that genre comes with a lot of similar themes. So you feel kind of maybe like you're recycling. Well, I love how, you know, the femme fatale in this, and I loved how, you know, how disgruntled the main character is. And then this, you know, something like In allows you to be like, you know what? Like, Josh, do you ever feel like sometimes it's hard to connect with other people? You know?
No, that's, I think that comes back to the nutritional conversation we had, right? I think it, although not to say that there weren't tropes in these books, it's the tropes that we don't normally tread, right? It's not the normal fare that we get out of your book. So I agree with you. I think a book like, if I'm looking at a book, if I look back at books that have stuck with me through the read, In and although I had read Talking to My Father's Ghost before, those two books probably had the most personal impact, right? Like if I think about an emotional sort of thought process there as we've read them, they all kind of deal with that. You know, both of those books really dealt with interacting with others, what that looks like, and just sort of, they're both very introspective books, right? Like, how do I cope with connecting with people? How do I cope with loss? How do I, as an individual, deal with, you know, the circumstances around me, right? So I felt that from those two books the most. And I think that those two books are the ones that really gave me the boost. And maybe that's why for me, like a book, like, although I had fun reading Organisms from an Ancient Cosmos, it just didn't have it didn't stick to my ribs. You know what I mean? Like it didn't give me that thing.
Well, it's also important that we didn't make it indie biographical summer.
Right.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and so That would be an interesting if we did all things like Talking to My Father's Ghosts are in, and maybe that might be a cool thing to do because those are some of the books that we connected with and doing a whole summer with. But again, I think about halfway through, I would probably be like a little bit burnt out, right?
Right.
Yeah, this is this person's trauma dumping on me, you know, for like 6 books in a row. I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
My brain's not working. What did I want to ask you? Oh, yeah, here it is. So we've talked about how we like this because it's a bunch of new creators here that we haven't read before. But now that we've read these 6 new creators on here, which of these creators, if you saw their name attached to a new project, would you be more likely to be like, oh, I'm definitely going to be checking out more stuff by this person?
Yeah.
I think unfortunately, we did all men. Even Mama came calling was all men. We didn't have it wasn't diversity summer.
I
tried better job to bring in something on there. I wasn't thinking about that.
I think you're right. I also think that's unfortunately the nature of comic books, right? And I also think as we were
indie comics.
We had a large pile that we were going through as we went through. And I can't tell you if any of the ones that we didn't put on the list were written by women or not. But I think for me, one of the things as I get out of this, and this is going to be counter to the thing that we just talked about, is if I'm going to see someone's name on it, then I'm going to pick that up. I think Jesse Lonergan, who played with the sort of spirit and form of comic books the most in Drome, is who I'd look for because it was such an interesting way to tell a story. Like the very limited dialogue, the art style I really loved, the way that the story Drome played with panel layouts and structure, and that to me, I was like, okay, I want to see how you do more with that. What does that look like I mean, I'd hate to see the same thing again, but I think that creativity is what would draw me to go find his other works to check that out.
Well, I also think, I'm the same with you right there. I for sure, in the universe of comic exposure, we will be reading the Jesse Lonergan book at some point because there's just too many things. And when we read the second one, we'll be like, oh, he was doing something similar in Drome, but he's also the kind of comic creator, you know, I've watched some interviews with him now where he makes it a purposeful choice to try new things each book that you haven't seen before. And so that's just going to feed for us. That's just like, we've seen so much. Right. So it's something different.
I really did like that. And I'd be curious to see, because I really enjoyed the sort of sparseness in introspective nature of In, I'm interested to see what else Will McPhail has done. I know he normally does smaller pieces and not longer form items. So I'd be curious to see what that looks like from him if he were to kind of dive into another idea or concept. I really enjoyed that sort of like sparse introspective nature of In. So I'd be curious on that. But
Drome for me.
Okay.
Before we start kind of like wrapping up some other major things on here, I want to make sure that we kind of be able to touch on all the comics that didn't fit into, you know, our previous questions on here.
Yeah.
So for Mama Came Calling, I think, you know, of the books, that was the last one on there. It was maybe the most different. I think you wanted to talk about something about two creators here in a second.
Yeah.
But for me, what I learned from that one, even if it was like, oh, that one doesn't linger in me as long, what it did kind of teach me is like, it was very niche and cultural as far as like a specific part of the world, a specific culture in the world that like I was just, you know, like the folklore of,
yeah,
was it like the panhandle,
the Bayou-y,
you know? Yeah. And I was like, and I thought I did a really good job of kind of like, oh, this feels authentic to that area. The way they spoke, the legends they told, the way, you know, that was kind of on there. And I was like, wow, comics can be a really cool portal, you know, if they're created by someone who has a lot of experience in a certain area or in a certain culture. It's a great kind of passport into really kind of subcultures or niche cultures, not just genres, which we usually talk about, but those kind of areas on there. You know, like if you wanted to read a book by a independent graphic novel person who lived in the fjords for half their life, one. And they're writing it on there, right? And in some way, it reminded me of that another graphic novel, Ducks. That was about the oil fields up in Canada.
Yeah,
you know, on there. A great one would be like someone needs to do a graphic novel on data centers. When I think of data centers, I think of Ducks, you know, and like I want someone's experience working in data centers told in graphic novel form.
Yeah. I bet you it's going to be there. I bet you it'll be there. So I think looking back at those books, I think, we had each of these books kind of gave us something different, as we went through them. Right. Beat It Rufus was like, how do you write a book with a terrible character that does not get better, but is still enjoyable? Yeah. So I really did kind of like that thing. So I want to ask, let's to go back to this idea of this as a college course that we did this summer, right? Mm-hmm. If someone said to you, comics aren't literature, or I don't read graphic novels, which of these six books would you give them to go, no, it can provide the same nourishment as good literature? It is good literature. Which of the six books? And we might praise the same books again, but I just just that question of, you know, if we're treating this academically this summer, if someone's like, yeah, I don't think that comic books are literature. I don't think that they can give you the same thing that a well-written novel can.
So I have two answers, and I think it might be similar to yours for two things. One, if I'm teaching a book on graphic novels, I'm putting Jerome in there because it really forces you, with the lack of dialogue, to look at the visual medium of...
Yeah. Makes you look at the medium a different way, right?
Yeah, I think it's in fact, if I was teaching a book on comic books, it would be required reading because I think it's a great kind of funneling. And if you start with that, then they'll be looking for that in superhero books as well, and then moving it into it. But
to pause that really quick, you and I talked about this a long time ago, like as we've started this show, that as an early participant in this experiment with me as we dive into stuff, you're like, you know, I didn't really look at the art as much. I was really a story dialogue person. And I think you're right. I think Drome forces you to go like, oh, how does the imagery in a comic book that maybe I didn't look at before tell story?
Right? It's really interesting that you said that, because our first ever episode really put that in perspective. We did Prophet, which isn't like Drome, but it is the, forgot who was illustrating that, but the illustrations and the paneling on that is very, essential to understanding the full scope of that story. But at the same time, if it's like someone who's like kind of pretentious and kind of coming at me from like a elitist position, and I'm just trying to like kind of appease them, then I would probably do In, you know, because it has that, like he said, I believe it's the New Yorker, the guy does comic
strips.
I
think it's the New Yorker, or the
Atlantic. And so then it's a sense of like, oh yeah, this guy writes for the New Yorker, and if you know, they value illustrative storytelling, and here they take one of their elite and they, you know, get, you know, publish a whole, not New York didn't publish it, but, you know, kind of that world. So those would be kind of the two. One, it depends on who's asking the question and where I think that question's coming from, whether I'd give them Drome or In.
I think both of those answers are quite good. I think both of those are, you know, can it be literature? Can you learn something from it? Can you do that? I think both of those are a good idea. I think In is that one that gives you that introspective, like, what do I take away from it? You're leaving it feeling something, right?
Yeah.
I think that that's one of those books that really does.
What would be the hardest, you think, entry point for someone? Cause I mean, we get to, now that we have it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Now I don't check you know, podcast hits. I don't even know how to do that and stuff like that. Yeah. Well, YouTube is right there, and you can see a clear difference from like the number of people who are interested in watching videos on our independent graphic novels versus something like Daredevil. Yeah. Or, you know, like an absolute book. What book do you think would be the hardest or like for that you wouldn't necessarily recommend to someone, not because of the quality of the book, but just like a mainstream comic book reader?
And I think we've kind of talked about it before. I think Organisms from an Ancient Chaos Cosmos. Oh. I enjoyed it, but I think that's a hard one to hand to somebody and go like, if you don't enjoy comic books, if you don't enjoy like how goofy and weird a comic book can be, that's probably not something I hand to somebody, right? Because the dialogue and the plot are intentionally cheesy. You wouldn't go see someone and be like, hey, I want you to watch this to show you what cinema is, right? You wouldn't go like, hey, go see this movie. And I can't think of one right now. Like, you wouldn't tell someone to go watch Pee-wee's Big Adventure as like an absolute great form of movie making, right? Like,
there are things about me you couldn't understand. There are things about me that you shouldn't understand. Can't remember it.
But it's like, it's a very, it is niche, and it would require a certain level of comfort with just the cheese of comic books, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that takes that. And I enjoyed it, but I think that's a hard one just to give someone to be like, hey, go.
Yeah, it's the punk, it's like the punk rock comic books, not in its content, but in its form.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I think you're there. So I think, to start putting a bow on this, here's what I want to know. I'm going to ask you this question. Did you notice any, and we kind of talked about this, but I don't want to settle it. Did you notice any unexpected connections between the books or shared themes or conversations between?
Yeah.
Had we chosen these, and let's say that we'd read them, hit there or here. I mean, we read about, I don't know, we do normally two or three books a month. So we're reading, you know, 24 to 30 some books a month or a year. If we'd spread these six out throughout the year, do you think you would have felt a conversation between them? Or do you think what is this telling you? What's the through line that you found in these books?
So for me, the through line isn't any particular trope or theme, but it is when you read six back to back and you compare them to some of the other types of books that we read on here, I feel like these independent graphic novels serve the creator's personal themes as opposed to the a character's or story's theme. So they become vehicles for personal storytelling above character storytelling. Now, that is not to say that all the books that we enjoy and read aren't great storytellers and artists telling their stories through characters that are given to them or licensed to them.
Yeah,
and that's why we love comics, right? It's like, this is a Batman story by Tom King, but it's also very personal to Tom King. It's one of the things that we talk about almost every episode about like, oh, where is this coming from this creator? Yeah. However, that when you lose the facade of an established character or story.
Yeah.
And it just helps more. And it's kind of tricky because there are like, you take someone like a company like Image, they'll be like, hey, you know, again, Tom King, what do you want to write about? Scott Snyder. And he'll be like, oh, I got this personal story. My dad was in, you know, my grandfather was a pilot in World War II, and I kind of want to do like an anthropomorphic story about his experience, you know, but like, what if he was shot down? He was a giant bear know, like, okay, that's coming from a personal place. And he puts that in there, but it feels like that the personalness is always on the back burner to be brought forward in discussion, as opposed to being the driving force where you talk about that first. Like, oh, also the story is about like, yeah, they're going to an ancient cosmos, but we first talk about like, what is this? Or like, oh yeah, it's about this dead, you know, that kind of.
Yeah. Thing. I agree with you. I think these books allowed, I think this type of book allows for the creators to give you a more personal story, to make it rooted in personal experience, and to bring a different emotion to the forefront of this, right? We're not reading we're not reading someone's issues through the lens of Batman. We're reading someone's issues and then, or someone's things that they're dealing with, and how do I tell a story about that thing I'm dealing with? Not how do I make Bruce Wayne struggle with being a father? I'm just going to write a story about what it means to struggle to be a father, right? Like you take away that veneer that sometimes creators at the big two have to put on top of it to tell the story. And I think you mentioned, I think Tom King is one of those good ones, right? Like he goes like, well, I'm using, you know,
Vision.
I'm using Vision to tell this very difficult family story, right? Or I'm using, or, you know, whatever it is, but I have to put this veneer on it in order to sell books, right? I also think the other thing that these books have in common is that they are one and done. The pacing be damned. If it takes 200 pages, it's 200 pages. If it takes 150, it's 150. It's not tied to the monthly comic book format. And so I think that through line of being like, the story is what it is, and it's going to take as long as it takes, and that's just what it is. It didn't feel, I think, you know, we read books that feel very episodic often. These didn't feel episodic. They felt this is the story. So I think in that terms, they did feel more novel-like as opposed to serialized soap opera like writing that you get in a different type of book.
That's a good point. Like this summer, every book, I felt satiated after each book.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like I felt like, I'm in. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. And it wasn't like, oh, what's happening next? Or what do you think? Or like, am I going to feel like I'm out of the loop if I don't pick up the next one? And then, you know, you carry that with you on there. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
Anything else, Josh, that you wanted to mention about connections or through lines or just, you know,
They just that these books felt more personal than I think what we normally read. I think that was the nice part about this summer is, like I said, like you said, I don't think that you can't do this for a year. Right. I think that gets old. Right. I think we've found that as this last year, we've done this thing where we've gone this month, let's read this type of book. This month, let's read Westerns. This month, let's read this. And I think that three book is the limit most of the time where we're like, okay, we did three books on that. I don't know that we need to do more than that idea on this. Mm-hmm. So this six, although it was six books, there wasn't the only connective tissue is the type of book, not like type being the format as opposed to a genre. And so I feel like as we leave this event, I don't know if successful is the word I want to use, but I feel like this summer felt the most
expanding
and interesting compared to other things, right? To where we weren't trying to gain knowledge about something we already knew. And so we could talk about Superman in a new way. Giving us something different to read.
I think it also like, because we read them together and we, you know, we heard our opinions on them. I think it also expands our permissions of books that we want to bring in and be like, hey, let's try this. You know, like there were, without picking out titles, I mean, there were books on here. We liked all the books, but there were certainly books that we, even though we're raving about this, that we like less. You're like, oh, if I knew it was going to be this, maybe I wouldn't have picked that book. But there was no like feeling like, oh God, are you making me read this? Or like,
I didn't feel that about any of those books. And I really,
and
that was really
that's
nice.
Great. Yeah.
I agreed. I think, you know, and I think when Star Wars got to a point where I was like, if I read another freaking Star Wars book, I'm going to lose my mind. Right.
Yeah.
Like I won't touch a Star Wars comic book for probably another year or two. Right.
Like,
I feel like I got it. This one, I'm like, there's nothing in here that I'm like, ooh, I don't want to touch that kind of idea or that concept again. And I think although there were six books that we fit into a package, they all felt very different and very unique. Although I think this sort of personal nature of that through line for it, is there. I think maybe the one that felt the least personal was probably Drome, right? Because, you know, it didn't, I don't think it told anything about the person individually. Not that I think, you know, Noah Van Sciver is a dirtbag artist, like music guy, but you can tell there, like a story like that has it, the emotion in it feels personal. Right.
Yeah.
Even the same thing with Mama Came Calling. There's that trauma nature that was in that book that you can feel like, oh, that feels like someone who's dealt with some sort of like reoccurring trauma that they're using this story to talk about. Right.
Yeah. I would say also to add to that, even though, maybe not to add to that, but to kind of my last thought would be like, even though over this last year we've been expanding the reach of our podcast, whether it be like you and all the stuff you're doing with social media or opening it up to YouTube and putting our videos out there of these conversations on here, there is a tendency to be like, as you expand to, oh, give the people what they want. And this was the opposite, right? It was like, let's read stuff that people don't know. And so you think like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if people, for me, I'm like, oh, this is, for me, this gave me permit, like almost more permission to pick more obscure titles on there. Yeah. Even if the summer series wasn't as big of a hit as our absolute books or as listened to as much of that. So I'm glad that as we expanded and started trying to create the podcast and have a greater reach, that we almost did the opposite in the books that we picked.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, so it's like, look, like this would have been a great time. This would have been a great time for absolute summer as opposed to, you know, one little month of absolute, or this would have been a great month, you know, the great summer for let's talk about DC books because of this, or
we finally built this machine to reach all kinds of people in the way they want to be reached. And what do you want to say to them? Hey, do you like obscure books about old punk rockers who are really unlikable?
Do you like a book about dealing with the death of a loved one? Right. Okay. So let's wrap this up. This is actually a pretty good conversation we've had. So folks, thank you for tuning in. This wraps up our summer series, Graphic Novel Summer, and we can get back to the work of reading more DC and Marvel comic books, right?
Just back to work in general.
We're going to get back to the mines, the salt mines of reading the normal fare. But thank you for tuning in. You can find the podcast over at comicexposure.com or your favorite podcast app, whatever that is. You can also find us on YouTube. So if you listen to us and you want to see our ugly faces, you can see us on that. We also, you can follow us on Instagram at Comic Exposure. I usually post what book is coming up, the reading list for the month, so that you can go, oh, that's what they're reading. I want to check it out and find out what it is. I try to cobble some clips together from the podcast so that you can see us talk about it. If we have anything enlightening to say, sometimes I look through 40 minutes of a podcast. I'm like, is there any clips? We're not very clippable, Travis. I think we need to get more hot takes, more clippable content. If we're going to make this machine work, it can't be all about introspective nature, the literary nature of comic books. So folks, this is when we would tell you what books we've got coming up, but I can't do that because Travis and I have not picked our books, but find us on Instagram and see what those books are. And we'll come at you It's we got it.
Oh, we got shirts. You remind them. It's only been a couple of episodes since we've redone the shirts.
Yeah. You can find us over at comicexposure.threadless.com. We have a bunch of t-shirts. You can find a bunch of cool new designs, plus the classic designs. We've got the Comic Exposure logo. We have the Kaiju shirt is still there. Plus, we've got Are You There? Are You There, Krom? It's me, Conan, if you want to support your Conan love. All sorts of dumb shirts there.
I think all our stuff goes to charity too. All the stuff. I think we just click charity.
Yeah. So go check it out.
Thing, so.
Ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next trade.